Thank you, Brother Charles. God bless you. I also want to thank God for the sessions we have had for the mission challenges and all the testimonies we have taken from several of God's servants, our primary rulers, who have given us an insight onto what God will have us do. And that will take me now to go further from where we stopped our discussion in the morning. I'd like you to please bow your head as we pray together. Shall we pray together? Our Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your wisdom that you are releasing to us. We thank you for Rehoboth. Thank you that you are the one making room for us to be fruitful in the land, to bring forth fruits that abide, fruits that abound, and fruits that are abundant. Holy Spirit, we pray tonight that within this short space of time we have, again, you will convey and unveil your heart to us as regards what is it that you want to replenish the earth with. You started speaking to us that the seed to sow is first of all a life. We ask, Lord, that as we have gone through the songs, this indeed is a fruitful day, and that the life of Christ must flow through us. Thank you for this time. Please undertake for us as we go on now. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. If you remember in the morning, I was looking at what to sow for your Rehoboth and in this season of Rehoboth. And I want to kick off again from the passage that I left off from speaking. You know, I took a bit of time looking at the Genesis 26, but we quickly moved when we're looking at what to sow. And I noted that it was not just guinea corn. It was not just some plants that are external to our lives that God is first asking for. We saw that Isaac sowed in the land. Isaac invested his life. And so what God was blessing, what God was increasing, was Isaac. The kind of species of man that he was the man that God was increasing. So we're going to pick up again the scriptures that I stopped reading with, and we'll combine it back with Genesis 26. So I would like to start from Matthew chapter 13. You know, Matthew 13, I was coming from that parable that the Lord himself gave. I said there are so many issues about the kingdom of God, and it looks to me as if the kingdom of God has to do with sowing. The kingdom of God has to do with sowing and reaping, and bringing fruits that multiply. But what was more deliberate for me as we were looking at that scripture and as we were looking at what to sow was the wisdom that came from that particular proverb, a parable that the Lord Jesus brought. And I want to build on it because there are several issues that are coming out, and I just pray that God we give us understanding, particularly again tonight. Now, go with me to Matthew chapter 13, and we'll read verse 24 again. And I would like you to please note that as we read from verse 24, we will get to verse 30, and we will take one more of those parables, that is, verse 31 and 32. just to tie together what we are dealing with tonight. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household, the householder, came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in your field? From whence then has it tares? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. The son said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. That was the parable. But we would have left it if it was just left as a parable, and would have been imagining what will it mean. We would have been talking maybe it was a farm, and he was just planting some agronomy seed, and someone else brought a strange tear and was putting in it. But when the Lord Jesus Christ gave the meaning to the parable he gave, it becomes a very critical issue that we cannot bypass. We need to understand that, because we are talking about the kingdom of God, and we are talking about Rehoboth, room for us to multiply, to be fruitful in the land. As a continuation of the commission that God gave us and said, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it. Now, as we turn to that scripture, there are a few things that are very critical that I will be pointing to you, because if we are going to maximize and engage our Rehoboth, if Rehoboth itself is a room to be fruitful, a space to be fruitful, a space to bring forth something for the kingdom of God in our own generation, if God is giving us a space to overrun what had been on for years, then it's very important for us to understand what is it that God is asking us to be fruitful about. What is the fruit that God is asking us to produce? And we are going to again trust God to give us simple understanding of where we are going and what we need to do with it. Now, from that particular passage, let me jump so that I can again tie it together with the meaning that Jesus gave. In verse 36, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. They were very specific. They needed an understanding. And he says, they came to him when he had dismissed the multitude. And he said, they asked him, sir, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. What do you mean by that? There are many things that only these disciples could have access to. And I thank God that God is giving me and you an understanding. And it's because we have come to that space in which God wants to do something in this generation. That's why we are beginning to understand what is God asking for us to do. Look at that again. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. So let's take note of that. That is very important. He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. I know that you now know who the Son of Man is, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, who himself had laid down his life in order to redeem us to himself and to make us children of the kingdom. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the authority to become the children of God. So I want you to note now that he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, is the sower. But now, the field is the world. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I hope you are following the word of God. If any of you is going to be fruitful and multiply, permit me to say to you, it must be in this world, not in heaven. Whatever fruit you did not bring forth while you are in this world is no longer necessary. Whatever you did not produce for God while you are in life, and when you have the life, it is of no use anymore. The Bible says it is given unto man once to die, and after that, there's judgment. There is no device, there is no wisdom, there is no activity, there is no knowledge, there is nothing else you can do once death finishes with you. If you are a child of God, born again, you are going to sleep until the resurrection morning. But you see, as I read this scripture, in the book of Daniel chapter 12, let me ask you to read Daniel chapter 12 very briefly before I continue this. Now, this is very important because the field where our Rehoboth is located, excuse me, is not in heaven, is here on earth. So when we are talking about Rehoboth has come to you, my friend, let me inform you that it is now and it is in this world that you are going to be fruitful. It is in your lifetime that God is intending for you to be fruitful. It is now that you have strength, that you have grace, that heaven wants to see fruit, abiding, abounding, and abundant fruit in your lives, each one of you. None of you will be barren in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, in the book of Daniel chapter 12, he says something, and I want to read from verse 1, 2, and verse 3, and because I just wanted to note one thing there, because we are taking this particular parable critically. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting content. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Now, why am I bringing this? I want you to know that if you are ever going to be fruitful, if you are going to multiply, and the level that God is declaring to me and to you at this time, a room for you to be fruitful. That room for you to be fruitful is not just a slogan. Number one, it is a time. It is a space in your lifetime that God is calling for your life to produce results. It is a space while you are still in this world for you to bring forth fruit, the kind that will make Jesus to be fulfilled and to be happy and to find find the will of God in our lives, bringing result to Him. Now, He said, but many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. And you know, as I sat through scriptures, I found that every time God wants to describe the death of the righteous or the death of His children, He says they sleep. So I want to say to you that your Rehoboth must be activated before you sleep. You are going to pray and say, Father, don't let me sleep until I have brought the fruit I ought to bring. He said, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. He's talking about the resurrection of the saints. But something that was very touching, which Jesus again repeated when you go to Matthew 25, which I'm not going to talk about now, He also repeated it. He said, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life. And some to what? To shame and everlasting contempt. I do pray that you will not be waking up with all the opportunities that God is giving you unto everlasting contempt and shame. That the things that you were given opportunity to do while you have life, you didn't do it. Souls of men that you are supposed to reach, and they will be crying and say, but you saw me on your street. You didn't tell me anything about this. Now I have missed it. I'm now in hell, but you did not tell me. Everlasting shame and everlasting contempt. But then look at how the Bible now ended in verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So what are you noting there now? The only way to be wise, because if you now go to the book of Proverbs, I think chapter 11 and verse 30, it says, those that winneth a soul is wise. So they that shall be wise, they that are producing fruit of this life that we are going to be looking at, they are the one that will shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they are the ones that turned many to righteousness, they are the ones that will shine as the stars forever and ever. So go back to the passage that I have been trying to deal with. In that passage, he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. So I just wanted to explain that the field is the world. The field is not in heaven. The field is not in the grave. The field is the world. And it's only in the world that God is saying, I'm giving you a Rehoboth where you are going to be fruitful and where you are going to multiply. Now, it said the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. I will spend time on that briefly tonight, as God will permit me. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, I said this parable is going to engage us for today. Engaging us because we need to have an understanding of where we are in the purpose of God. We need to have an understanding of what is God calling us into at this time, from different nations, from different contexts, from different peoples, different professional calling, and all that we may be engaged in. We need to have an understanding also, why is God deliberately opening a window onto our lives, which he has tagged Rehoboth? Why is God creating this special time, this special season, for us to be fruitful in the land? Why is God doing that? And this parable captures what we need to say if we spend a little time to look through what God is saying to us. First and foremost, I want you to note that as far as the word of God is concerned, he that sows the good seed is the Son of Man. So permit me to say to you that every one of us, that Jesus had purchased for himself by his blood. Each one of us, that when he died on the cross, we were brought to become sons and daughters in the kingdom of God. I want you to know that you were so saved. You were so purchased by the blood of the Lamb. You were so delivered. And you were so brought to become children of the kingdom so that you might become the good seed in the hand of Jesus. Please, my brothers and sisters, take note of this. This is the first issue I want to raise. That the good seed that Jesus is ready to sow into the world are those men and women that the Bible refers to here as the children of the kingdom. So permit me to say to you, have you been saved? Have you been delivered? Have you experienced the salvation of the Lord? Do you have a song of redemption in your mouth to say, oh yes, I've been redeemed? May I now say to you, you were redeemed actually not to be a decoration. You were redeemed actually not to gather, I don't know, whatever. You were redeemed in order to become a seed, a good seed in the hand of the Son of Man. Each one of you hearing me, if you are hearing the word of God clearly, the only reason why when you were redeemed and you were saved and you were brought to share to carry the life of Christ is that you might become a good seed in his hand to be sown into the world in order to multiply the kind, the species of life that he had been wanting to multiply on the face of the earth. You remember that Jesus Christ said in John chapter 15, he said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. You are branches. So if you know God to be the Father and is the vine dresser, what is the vine dresser growing? It's growing the true vine. So which means the kind of life and the kind of fruit that God wants to multiply on the face of the earth is the life of Jesus. And so when Jesus Christ comes into a man's life and delivers him from the life of the flesh, it is for him to become a seed, a good seed in the hand of God to be sown into the world. My friends, please hear me. If you are not a good seed in God's hand to be sown into the world, to repopulate the kingdom of God, and to bring the kind of increase that God is looking for, then you have missed the reason for your redemption. Then you have not understood why God had purchased you in the first place. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The good seed, they are the children of the kingdom. And he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. He was being very explicit. And I'm just saying, oh God, look at me here. I am a seed in the hand of the Son of Man. And the plan is that he will sow me. He will plant me into the world in order to reproduce, in order to bring forth fruits of that same kind. You see, you cannot plant a particular seed and it will produce a different kind of fruit. Is it possible? It's not possible. That which a man soweth is what he's going to reap. So you see, I'm beginning to understand that when God takes time to cultivate my life and deliver me from the life of the flesh and take away the power of sin that was controlling my life before, and set me free to live the right kind of life, and he put his life inside of me, in his heart, he is looking for a multiplication. He's looking for a man like me that he will sow into the world to produce the kind of life, the species of life that he's looking for. Whether it is in the teaching profession, he decided to plow me. It is because he now wanted teachers who carry this kind of life into that system that can bring a change. Whether he decided to plow and plant my life in the midst of the medical people, medical profession, it is so that this kind of man, this kind of species of life might be the one that is cropping or recropping that space in the world system. Are you following me at all? Now, it means If at all, when he has redeemed you and filled you with his own life, and he decides, say, let's plow this one, let's sow him into the world among the business people. The plan is not that you should get lost there. The plan is not that the devourer will eat you up. The plan is that when you begin to shoot forth, when, as we read in that scripture, the Bible says, when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, the plan is that the kind of fruit that should come out should be the fruit of Christ's kind of life, that should fill that space, that should dominate the world, that should bring the world to become as the kingdom of our God. Now, because I am spending time on this, I want you to see the second aspect. It said, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. So, are you following that? Which means what we refer to as tares, they are also persons. They are also people. But the issue is that they are the children of the wicked one. And it's not difficult to know who is the children of the wicked one. 1 John chapter 3 says, whosoever is committing sin is of the devil, is of the wicked one. For the wicked one, for the devil sinned from the beginning. And for this cause, the Son of God was made manifest to destroy the works of the devil. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. He who practices righteousness is of God. And whosoever does not love his brother is of the devil. So we know that the tares, as Jesus is also talking about it, are people, are men, are women that have been sown also into the world, into the field. He said the enemy that sowed them is the devil. So what am I dealing with here now? When the men came and said, so let us go and uproot it. Something that Jesus said that was very critical before we come back here. He said, so the servant of the householder came and said to him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in your field? From whence then are it tares? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. It's the enemy that has done this. And it's very important for you to know how Jesus called him. He said, he's an enemy. The devil is an enemy. The devil is the enemy of the kingdom of God. He's the enemy of souls. He's the enemy of mankind. He's the enemy of anything that is good. But then the servant said unto him, will you then want that we go and gather them up? He said, no. No. Lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. What is the wisdom in this now? He said, let both grow together. So, where my challenge is that we are dealing with in this meeting is the fact that the Lord Jesus was very, very deliberate and very concerned that the seed, the good seed, must take root. As if he knows that if the good seed should take root, there is a way in which the good seed is going to outlive and outlast the tares. So by God's grace, when we come next, And I will be dealing with taking roots in order to bring forth the kind of fruits that will be abiding, that will be abounding, and that will be abundant. And the reason why this fruit has to be abiding, has to be abounding, has to be abundant is because it has to overwhelm the tares. It has to subdue the tares. It must not be choked up by the tares. So it said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather ye wheat into my barn. Now, what is the wisdom there? What it means is that the good seed has capacity to grow roots. But the two matter that is challenging me here today, when he said, let both grow together, that's where the challenge of this meeting is coming in my spirit. What is the growth rate of the good seed in our generation? What is happening to the good seed that they are not able to grow and outgrow the tares? As if he who planted them does not have what it takes to advance them. So when God begins to announce and said, now this is Rehoboth. Rehoboth, we shall be fruitful. Now, as I look at the story of Isaac, and as we began to study since morning when Brother Dennis came in with the matter of the family, we saw that all those that God was bringing to their Rehoboth, he grows them in the midst of famine. He grows them in the midst of conflict. He develops them. They are like roots that are growing in dry ground. It is because the seed, the good seed, the seed that Jesus has cast into our lives has capacity to overcome. In fact, he said, little children, don't fear them. You have done what? You have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So what it means is that the good seed that God is deliberately wanting to plant has capacity to take root downward, to overcome tears. Yes, the enemy has come to sow tears, but the master said, don't worry about that. Don't struggle to go and gather the tares. Let both of them grow. One will outgrow the other. One will shoot forth the kind of root that will overwhelm. And so when time comes, the tares will be dangling like this, and you can easily just gather them up and burn them off. There will be nothing about them. Now, I want to ask you, if the Lord's intention is that the Son of Man should have seed to sow, good seed, and he said this good seed are the children of the kingdom. Wow. That God's strategy of establishing his kingdom on the face of the earth, in the midst of tears and everything, is to sow the good seed. And this good seed are men, women, whom the Bible refers to as what? The children of the kingdom. The children of the kingdom. And when the enemy came, He came to sow tares, and the tares, Jesus Christ called them the children of the wicked one. But it is in that same atmosphere that Jesus said, allow them to grow together. Allow them to grow together. When the time of harvest comes, I will not miss the good seed. I will not miss the harvest of what I want to gather in. And you will have said, oh, this world would have been better if there are no tears at all. No. Actually, it's tears that produces the overcomers that where God wants it to be. And so this evening, while we are looking at Rehoboth, the good seed that God wants to multiply. If I now take you back to look at the story of Isaac that had been our illustration, you now see that here was an Isaac that could have ordinarily gone down the valley of compromise, the life of sin, and God said, do not go down to Egypt. Stay in this land. And he sowed into that land, and the Bible said, in 1 year, he received 100-fold. He waxed great. He went forward until he became very great. And he kept growing until he became very great. And all the Philistines that envied him, they quickly simply said, you are mightier than us. We can't withstand you. We block your wells. That's no problem to you. We took your water. That's no problem to you. The water we seized from you, we drank and drank and drank it. And it has not made us anything. And yet we see you progress. We see you living on a supernatural resource that we don't know where it is coming from. We see you demonstrating a kind of lifestyle that is far, far beyond what we have. That is the testimony that Isaac had in that land that made them, after fighting and struggling, they came and surrendered and said, we are not a match to you at all. It appears as if, in fact, they said, we know the Lord is with you. They confessed, they said, the Lord is with you. The Lord Almighty is with you, so you are mightier than us. We know that if we don't form an alliance with you, we will soon be finished. They knew it. And they knew also that there's a covenant upon the life of this man to take over. You see, every time God came to him, he said, all these countries, I will give them to you. That good seed had capacity to overcome. It has capacity to overtake. It has capacity to fill the place. Even though presently it looks as if, oh, no, no, no. We are just a minority. We are not able to do anything. Simply because you are taking for granted the power of the seed and the one that is sowing your life into the world system. And so this evening, that seed which the Son of Man sows, we are told they are the children of the kingdom. And I wish to ask you that you have not yet fulfilled the destiny for which Jesus purchased you and delivered you until you become the seed in his hand that he can use again to plant and extend the kingdom in this world. Some of you, I know you have rejoiced, I'm saved. And so you go every time, all you are looking for is some more blessing, something to add to you, and that's all about you. No. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. And the field where to sow them is the world. And the fruit that God is expecting is the fruit of the life that they have been blessed with, the life of the Son. And so when the choir was singing and said, it is a fruitful day, when the life of Christ must flow through us and fill everywhere and produce abiding and abounding and abundant fruit to the glory of God. But how do we get that? The seed, the good seed, has to be cast, has to be sown. And the Son of Man is standing here again and say, yes, can I sow you into the world? Can I invest you? Because there's no other way. We are not afraid of tears. Tears, yes, the enemy did it. But what the enemy did is nothing. It's nothing. Forget that. Don't go about saying, I want to gather the tares. We'll gather the tares at their point. A time has come when we'll gather them and burn them up and there'll be nothing again. But let them grow. Let them grow together. So this night, within the short moment that we have to pray with you, if this Rehoboth that God is announcing, and I can see in my spirit that God is saying, I'm giving you a space to be fruitful. I'm creating a room for you. I am planting you afresh into the world. I'm planting you into different segments. I want to plant you into the media community, so that you can take over. I want to plant you into the educational sector so that you can take over. I'm going to replant you even on the field of research. It is not the tares that the devil is sowing that ought to fill that place. And the reason why the master said, leave them, is because I don't intend for you to uproot the good seed because you are fighting the tares. Allow them to be there. Unfortunately, I found that for several of us, we have actually continuously uprooted the good seed because we are running away from the tares to such an extent that believers are now kept inside a seed sack. Can you imagine a farmer that has all his seed inside a sack? And he's afraid to plant them. And they say, why are you not planting? They say, there are too much weeds on the field. If I should throw them now, Kai, is that what a good farmer does? The seed in the sachet is a useless thing. And the seed that you did not plant is the seed that you have wasted. And yet for one seed that you plant, nobody can predict what it will produce. And that's what is taking me to that verse 31 and 32 that I read briefly. But before I will end with that, permit me to remind you the few other things that Jesus said in that parable. He said, yes, the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. So we already can see the end of the tares. We can see that they are here for temporary time. We can see that all that the devil is doing is not going to be forever. We can see all the principles, all the philosophies, all the men that the devil has introduced into the system, they are not going to be here forever. And they are not supposed to scare you from being planted, as God is demanding that, yes, this is your Rehoboth, that you might be fruitful and multiply in the land. Now, we can see the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. All things that offend, and them which do iniquity. So for you to note now that the tares we are talking about, they are those that do iniquity. They are those that bring offenses. All things that offend, and things and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Because this message itself is not yet talking about the end time and judgment and all of that. That's why I'm moving out of that. But you should note that there is the end of the tares. There is the end of everything that offends and everything that do iniquity. Then shall the righteous shine. They will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And when we read the other passage in Daniel chapter 12, it said, then shall the righteous, they will shine. They will shine forever in the kingdom of their Father. So this good seed we are talking about has an everlasting life, has a duration that can never end. The kingdom that we have come into is a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and it's a kingdom that lasts forever and ever. But tonight, my question is, will you be a seed in God's hand? Will you be a seed in the hand of Jesus? In the morning, I ended by saying, yes, we need to check. Is that seed viable? Does it have the correct life? Is it the kind that we want to plant? Does it carry the new creation life? Has it been delivered from the flesh? Or is it still the one that is sowing to iniquity? Is it the one that is still living in hypocrisy and waiting to reap or eat the fruit of lies? Is it the one that is investing into corruption? Or that which has received Christ's life, the everlasting life, the life that never fades out, the life that's above sin, the life that lives on a pedestal of life that is far beyond the natural. The one that can survive even when others are drying out. The one that can walk in the reality of the power of God and demonstrate the glories of our God in this world. And so tonight, I'm asking, will you offer your life as the seed in the hand of the sower, the Son of Man? Can God say, yes, I've got this brother now, I've got this young lady now, let me plant her out there. I'm not planting out there so that she can shrink and die and perish. It is so that she can multiply. That we can have more of this kind multiplying and filling the earth. So that we can have more of this kind of brother, one of this kind of pastors that are filling the earth with the species of life of the kingdom. Would you like to be a seed in God's hand? When we finish about the challenge of those that we can send, can you imagine that God is looking for men and women that he has given Christ life? They have been saved, they have been born again, and they are living the new life, the life that is void of the flesh. And God said, can I plant them into the traditional institution? Can this one become an Oba or a royal majesty or a prince whatever you call it in your own different countries. Who will be there sitting on the throne and yet representing the throne of heaven? God is looking for such seeds. It is not tears that ought to fill the thrones of our people. It is not tears that ought to become principals of our schools. It is not tears that should be the business tycoon of our generation. God is asking, can I have you as a seed that I can plant? And this will be the challenge I want to leave you here tonight. This will be the question I want you to look at tonight. And I want you to pray about that. This is Rehoboth. But the seed that will be fruitful in the land is this good seed that the sower, the son of man, has got in his hand, has captured, has redeemed, has delivered, and has purged from everything that offends and everything that do iniquity. Then he can plant them. They are the ones that can confront the tares. They are the ones that can subdue the tares. They are the ones that can make the tears to be dry as they ought to be. And we say, oh, no, these are tears. These are tears. This is not the right kind of person. We are seeing the right species of men that God is looking for. Why is this man like this? That is the plan of God. And so that scripture ends. It said, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. That I want to say to you. Any one of you that is born of God, you may look tiny like a mustard seed, but inside that seed, as small as it is, it carries the capacity. He said, indeed it's the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs. I want to ask you, will you release your life into the hand of Jesus tonight and become that good seed in the hand of the Son of Man? Will you allow Christ's life that he went to Calvary in order to release so that he can multiply? He said, if the corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it multiplies, it bringeth forth much fruit. And that was what Jesus did, so that his life can be multiplied in many people like me and yourself. And it is not so that we can just be there. It's such that we can become seeds. If you become converted tonight in the course of this meeting, I can tell you what will happen. You will become a seed in the hand of God. Because God's intention is that each one of you, you will be fruitful, you will multiply, you will increase, you will fill the face of the earth with the right species of men and women. If he decides to deliver you, as I know he wants to save you even tonight, it is so that your life will not end in the cooking pot. Your life will become a seed that is reproducing and bringing many more to glory. When Jesus took some of our own lives, and I was wondering, what can God do with a life like mine that seemed to have no spine, nothing? And you know, when he would be saying to me, he would be bringing some promises, I will make you a new sharp threshing instrument, you will thresh mountain. I was wondering, how can a worm become like that? But a worm, like a small seed in the hand of Jesus, has capacity to fill the earth, to affect many, and to multiply. I want to leave that with you tonight as I ask you to join us in prayer. I want to ask you to look at that particularly. Will you be the good seed that the Son of Man is intending to cast again into this world, particularly in this season of Rehoboth? The end of the world is very close. And the end of your opportunities to become useful in the hand of God is also very short. And if everything I'm talking to you about has to happen in this world, because the field is the world, what again would you like for your life to be useful? Will you be that seed that God can release so that the life of Christ can flow everywhere? You cannot say you are doing well until you have become a good seed in the hand of God. If God is sending you to a village, it is so that you will become his good seed to recrop that village, to multiply and release the kind of life of Christ in all others that you are going to affect. It is so that the character and the features of Christ's life will begin to fill the place. That's why he's sending you out there. Will you be a seed, a good seed in his hand? But while I'm saying this, don't forget that the enemy, while men slept, this is my last point to raise with you. When did the enemy normally find chance to walk? Excuse me, when? When men slept. Which means even the tears that we are seeing everywhere, everywhere, is because men are sleeping. If we will wake up now, with the grace of God, with the capacity of the Holy Spirit at work in you, you will soon discover that even the enemy will not have space to sow the tears anymore. You'll be so ashamed because we're awake. We're awake, we're active, we're filling the place. The good seed is being planted here and there and there and there. And the land is waking up to the reality of his creator. In schools, you know why the tears have been sown? Because men slept. Some of you, you were supposed to be sown into the curriculum development of your educational system, and you have capacity to have brought out the correct curriculum. But what did you do? You slept until the enemy sowed tears, and they are the ones now designing curriculum. And now for H3, H4, they're beginning to bring a curriculum, a very dangerous, wicked curriculum that is beginning to train small children in the matter of explicit sex. And they are giving them an orientation that is dangerous for the future. Why men slept? They're the one writing books while you are sleeping. Will you wake up here tonight? Will you say, Lord, make me the good seed in your hand? And please, Lord, sow me into your world. Sow me into the fields. And cause me to be active, actively engaged, never to sleep, never to sleep. It was why men slept. Even now as I'm talking to you, Satan cannot walk in the daylight. He needs darkness. He needs people to sleep before he can walk. If you wake up now, you will soon see that the man that sows tears will begin to withdraw and say, these people are waking up. I want to pray here with you. I want to ask, may God find in you and in myself good seed in this present opportunity of our Rehoboth. In this present situation that God is saying, now is the time. He's making room for us to be fruitful. He's giving us space to be fruitful. If we stand now, you will soon see that he who sow tears will begin to withdraw. Begin to say, eh, we normally sow tears when they are sleeping. Now that they are waking up, now that there's revival, now that they are up and doing, Now that they are asking questions, how can we sow tears again in their midst? They will not allow even the tears to settle down before they throw it away. May you pray with me tonight and say, God, first, Isaac sowed his life. He sowed his life into that land. And if there is anything that we are talking about today as the inheritance of Abraham, about Isaac, about Jacob, was because that boy did not sell out. The only reason why we don't know anything about Esau is that he sold out his own birthright. So it could not be part of what we are talking about. In the morning, as we are dealing with the prayer opera, she came up to remind us the nearer kinsman that would have become useful, that would have perpetuated the lineage of the Savior. He said, no, I don't want to mar my own inheritance. So he removed his shoes. You should have been wearing that shoe. Then he removed it. He was walking about barefootedly, a man of irresponsibility. Don't accept to walk barefootedly away from this meeting. The shoe that God is placing before you, stand up and wear it. It is your responsibility to become that good seed that will stop and curb. You see, when you have not planted the good seed and you are not letting it grow, and you are busy worrying yourself about tears, there can be no vacuum in nature. If the good seed are not planted, if they are not growing, what else? Every time I go on a field, once the good seed are not planted, there's nothing that stops weeds and tares from growing there. This night, wherever you are, whether you are in the village or you are in the city, whether you are in the top of academics or you are in business or you are a student or you are just one that is dealing with small children in the primary school, can I remind you, you are a seed and you must be a good seed in the hand of the Savior in order to fill the field of this world. Tears have come along because we slept. If we wake up now and begin to do what we need to do, we will recover all. May I ask you to please join me in prayer tonight? May I ask you to show God you are redefining what is the reason for me being here? I'm a seed in God's hand. Lord, sow me into the world. Some of you are already hearing me and you are retirees. And you are asking, I say, but we are already retired. What can I do? I want to inform you. There's a world of the retirees. Many of your age mates and colleagues, they are looking with gloom in their eyes. They don't know what. They spend all their years summing up and down, and now they are retired into nothing. And God is saying, can you go and invest them? Can you start a retirees kind of outreach and see many of them that they are only waiting for death? They will have a different reason for living. And even if they are going to heaven, they go to heaven with a hope. Can you become a seed that God can sow into the field, and the field is the world? It's not heaven yet, it's the world. And if you are not going to be relevant here, what else? What will you be remembered for? And what will be your reward in eternity? Only those that are wise will shine in the kingdom of their Father. Will you be wise? Will you be wise? Will you take a wise decision tonight and say, Lord, I have only one life to live. I want to lay it in your hand. Sow me, plant me, make me a good seed in your hand. May God answer our prayer. And if you are doing that, please rise and let's pray together. The altar call that my brother gave, that God said, I've come down to deliver the people, but come now, let me send you. I know that if you didn't respond to that, you need to respond even now. But much more than all of this that we have said, God is saying the good seed that the Son of Man is sowing to the field of the world are the children of the kingdom. Will you be a seed in God's hand and say, God, A correct seed never dies alone. When a correct seed is planted, it comes out with multitude of fruits. Lord, make me a good seed in your hand. Cause my life to begin to multiply. Don't let me be satisfied for being alone. Don't let me begin to say, oh yes, I was saved 20 years ago. That's not the plan. The plan of God is that the children of the kingdom, they will be the seed that he sows into the world in order to bring in the harvest for the kingdom. Rise up and let's pray together. Rise. Rise. Let's call on God this moment. And I just want you to take 1 minute or two to pray for yourself. And just say, Lord, the devil is sowing tares everywhere. Once upon a time, I was one of such, but your word came to me and I'm now delivered. Make me a seed in your hand. I want to be that good seed that the Son of Man has in his hand to sow in order to bring a change and to bring a Rehoboth. Will you pray like that? And if by this night, you still realize that things that offend, things that work iniquity are still actively working in your heart. Things that any time anybody was to hear that you are the one who did it, you bow your head in shame. You don't want people to know. That's why you are pretending. Tonight, you cannot end as ordinary tares. There is the grace that is appearing to you tonight in order to deliver you from everything that offends, everything that brings iniquity. You can be saved. You can be delivered tonight. Jesus actually died in order to redeem people like yourself so that they can become a seed for the kingdom of God. This night, Jesus is standing and saying, but this is one of the people I would have used, but he has fallen into the hand of the enemy who is pushing her up and down. Come unto me, I will give you rest. You may have heard Jesus speaking to you. Can you be a seed in God's hand, or you want to be a tear in the hand of his enemy? You must make a choice on this. Those of you that have given your life to Christ and Christ has redeemed you from the power of sin, the grace of God has appeared unto you. He has taught you to live holily and soberly and make you a peculiar people unto himself. He wants you to be a seed. Can you offer it and say, now, Lord, make me your seed. Make me your seed. Plant me anywhere in your field. I will bring result to you. My life will not waste away. I'm not just going to die off like that. Make me a seed in your hand. If you are doing that, I want you to lift up your hand and say, God, I'm putting this life now in your hand. It must be your seed, your good seed. It cannot be wasted. It is not the fowl of the air that will eat me up. It is not the world system that we overuse my life and it will end with nothing. My life will be a seed in your hand. Lord, I put it in your hand tonight. And I put it in your hand when it is still viable. I put my life in your hand when you can use it and make it what you want it to be. Tonight, Lord, take this life and use it. That's the first request I'm making. I'm going to make requests for the other, but this first request, and I want anywhere you are to say, God, now I'm realizing that I have a small space, a Rehoboth, for my life to become fruitful. Make me your good seed. Plant me anywhere you want to plant me. Here am I. Are there people like that? Please stand where you are. Lift up your hands unto God. And if you want, you can step out and say, Lord, today, it's clear to me that I'm not just supposed to just live and die. I'm supposed to be a seed that multiplies for you. It may look like a mustard seed today, but it can become a mighty tree in the hand of God, drawing more to the kingdom of God. Where are you? Please stand where you are. Draw before God and say, Lord, take this life now. Let it be your seed. Lord Jesus, please make my life your seed and use it wherever you have desire. Plant me out so that I can multiply this life, Christ's life that you are releasing to this generation. God bless you. God bless you. Please do that as I want to pray. If your heart is desiring and say, yes, that's what I want to be, let me see your right hand lifted before God. And let me see you take a step and say, Lord, make me your seed. Thank you, brothers. Thank you, sisters. Thank you, my friend. Do that right away. Do that right away. And God, who understands, who is sending this message particularly to you, is going to watch over this until you break forth everywhere, until your life becomes that crop that is recropping the generation, recropping the environment, recropping the schools, recropping the villages, and recropping the different profession where you are. And it's possible that you say, but I want to take you into the field of pulpit ministry. And you're saying, Lord, if that's it, I'm here for you. Plant me anywhere you want me to be. God bless you. If you are stepping before God, I know that the crowd might be much at your altar, but find a space there. Just find a space and say, Lord, here am I tonight. Now, but why we are doing that? Why all those that are saying, make me your seed, are doing that? Are you standing there? You wanted to pray and say, Lord, use me. But the voice of iniquity is saying, but. That but, Jesus wants to overrule it tonight. That entrance in your life, Jesus wants to finish it tonight. That thing that is making you as if you are going to be down there as tares in the hand of the enemy, causing offense. Jesus has come because the enemy did not create you. The enemy only hijacked, and whatever he was doing in your life, it cannot last. The owner has come for it. The blood of Jesus was shed for your deliverance. If you will only say, Lord, take my life. Take my life tonight and use me for your glory. Change my story and make me a vessel in your hand. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my dear sister. As you stand before God, as you step forth your hand to him, heaven is going to respond to you tonight. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my dear sister. Thank you. The Holy Spirit is doing this because he actually means to walk with you. This meeting is turning you about for his own glory. Thank you. Thank you. With your hands lifted to heaven, just lift it above your head and I'll pray with you right now. Let me pray together with you. Tonight, Father, you have come again. Even though the enemy have done something, you, the Lord, the owner of your field and the owner of every heart, every life, you have come tonight. First to save and to redeem. And all those, oh God, who are saying, I can no longer be an instrument of offense. I will no longer be a tear to be cast into what God is doing in my generation. And they are saying, Lord, change my life. Lord Jesus, please take over from them tonight. Take over tonight and give them a new testimony. Give them a new story. Do a deep work in their lives. Give them a new heart, oh God. The seed of the kingdom, let it be cast into their soul from tonight and give them a new beginning. As many as are taking that step, Lord, I'm asking that the blood of Jesus will speak on their behalf. The blood of sprinkling will cleanse them from all iniquity. It will redeem them from all sin and it will resettle them in the kingdom of God. They will become seed, good seed in the hand of God. Good seed among students. Good seed among teachers. Good seed among lecturers. Good seed among the earth workers. Good seed everywhere. Good seed among traditional rulers. Good seed everywhere. Lord, I'm asking that you will do that miracle here tonight in the name of Jesus. And all those, oh God, who set their hands And they're saying, Lord, make me your seed. I have seen the reason why I'm alive now. I've seen that the seed, the good seed, are the children of the kingdom. Lord, so I'm asking you, so
in Jesus' name, so we continue to pray. Oh, our Father, we thank you. We just beg you that, Lord, you will help our lives. We pray, God, that we will be the good seed in your hand to sow into the fruits of this world, that will be fruitful and multiply. We will cover the whole earth. We'll subdue the earth. We pray, O God, that we will not wake up unto everlasting contempt and shame. We pray that we'll be among those who turn many unto righteousness. And we shall arise, O Lord, and be shining as stars forever. Lord, please undertake for us. We plow our hearts and our lives into your hands. Father, as you have begun with us, we thank you tonight that you will continue, you will succeed with our lives. As many as are responding, Father, we pray, God, that you will help and undertake for us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You have brought us, O Lord, unto our Rehoboth. You have made a room for us to be fruitful, to multiply. Father, we thank you. Blessed be your holy name. Be thou exalted. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Amen. We thank God for today. Thank God for this evening and for the message and the visitation of God that has come to us. We will take a few notices. Our brothers on the ground, all our coordinators in the centers, all the nations, please help us to sort out the counseling for all those who responded to the various altar calls since morning, particularly this evening. We will undertake to wait on God and make sure that everybody has been helped. So please, if you responded to the altar call, please follow the local instructions. And that they will attend to you. They'll give you some forms to fill, and they'll be counseling in all the centers, even this evening. Thank you very much. We'd like to take a few notices, and then I will hand over to the local on-site coordinators. This evening there will be counseling at the various centers. We will also like you to know that tomorrow, by God's grace, tomorrow is the 10th of December, and we will be starting our program at 7 a.m. West Africa time, which is about 7 a.m. Nigerian time. So wherever you are, you can take notes of the time. Just like we started today, we will start with on-site arrangement exactly at 7 a.m. West Africa time. And by 8:30 a.m., we'll connect online. So we'll start with the prayer mobilization, praise and worship, and the on-site devotions before we all gather globally online by 8:30 a.m. West Africa time. Thank you very much. I would like us to have our closing prayer and hand over to the local coordinators to give further instructions before dismissing us. Our Father, we would like to thank you so much for today.